This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, May 17th, reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. On a day when George Wallace was getting bad news at the hospital and good news in politics, we'll have the latest medical bulletin on his condition. Also tonight, we'll have a report from the carrier Constellation on Yankee Station in the South China Sea. We'll be looking at some of the defenses of the Vietnamese city of Hue. We'll hear the acting director of the FBI make a speech, and Garrick Utley will report on the California primary election. We'll begin with the condition of Governor Wallace. Wallace was shot on Monday in Maryland and since then has not had any feeling in his legs. There have been reports that he may be permanently paralyzed, but the doctors say they can't say that with any precision as of now. However, today, one of his doctors did say there is less than a 50-50 chance that George Wallace will ever walk again. Catherine Mackin attended the medical briefing at the Holy Cross Hospital, and she reports now from Washington.
From the time of the first reports on Governor Wallace's condition, some of his family and staff gave very optimistic accounts on his condition. They talked of his making a full recovery and said he would go on with his campaign for the presidency. But news reports said the governor would be permanently paralyzed. To clear up the confusion, a University of Alabama neurosurgeon who had attended the governor flew up from Alabama today to meet again with the governor and to see the press.
You'd have to say that with an immediate total paralysis and one continuing to this time, the prognosis has to be rather guarded as to the prospects for recovery. How much residual impairment there may be is a question that simply cannot be answered at this time. There's no indication that it has moved. Well, I would agree that it is a slim chance, but I would not say that it's an absolutely hopeless proposition.
You would not say what, sir?
I would not say that the condition is hopeless. There's no immediate danger in leaving the bullet in place. There are possibilities of later complications, and on that account, it should be removed ultimately. He has no feeling and no movement of the legs, up to the hips. Dr. Perez and I talked with Governor Wallace about an hour ago. He asked me several questions. He's fully conscious and rational. We examined him carefully, and he responded appropriately to all of our examinations.
Dr. Galbraith, have you told him that the prognosis has to be guarded about the prospects for regaining?
I have told him his prognosis is guarded, but it's much too soon to make any final determination.
What did he ask you about, Doctor? What did he say then?
He simply said that he was going to fight it and that he would make out.
The exact damage to the governor's legs will not be known until the operation to remove the bullet from his lower spine. That will come in a week to 10 days after his present condition has stabilized. Dr. Galbraith said there is a chance Governor Wallace could regain some use of his legs, but the chance of a complete recovery is remote. Catherine Mackin, NBC News, Washington.
That seems to be bad political news for Governor Wallace, and it comes on a day when the political news for him is exceedingly good. He and his wife read about it in his hospital room today. This photograph, released by the Wallace staff, is the first to be taken of him in the hospital. The results in yesterday's Michigan primary give Wallace 51% of the vote, a stunning victory in a northern, liberal, industrial state, with George McGovern second in Michigan and Hubert Humphrey third. In Maryland, which also had an election yesterday, Wallace won with 39% of the vote. Humphrey came in second in Maryland, McGovern third. In these two primaries, there were 185 delegate votes to be apportioned among the candidates, and it looks as though Wallace won 113 of them yesterday. Here's the approximate delegate vote count for the major candidates so far. McGovern well in the lead, Wallace second, Humphrey third. Governor Wallace is not likely to pick up many more delegate votes than the 323 he has now. Nevertheless, Wallace could be represented at the Democratic Convention by perhaps 350 votes, a sizable number. It takes 1,509 votes to nominate a candidate.
This is NBC Nightly News, brought to you by the Savings and Loan Foundation, on behalf of the $200 billion savings and loan business.
Take all the people who invest in all the companies listed on the New York and American stock exchanges. Add the people who invest in all the companies on the over-the-counter market. Then add all the people who invest in companies listed on local exchanges. Total up all these owners of stock in all the companies that are listed on all the exchanges throughout the country. Add them all together, and you still need over 16 million more people to match the number of people who save at savings and loan associations, where over 47 million people save with profit and safety. Where you save does make a difference.
Ah, the sign of a great restaurant. Soft music. A superior kitchen. Intimate lighting. Complete privacy. Luxurious appointments. A view of the world. Ah, the Volkswagen Kampfmobil. The only restaurant in the world that can travel 78 miles an hour.
What's the ideal laxative? That would be a laxative thorough enough for an adult, yet gentle enough for a child. Put them together, and you have Philips Milk of Magnesia. Milk of Magnesia is so thorough and yet so gentle, doctors recommend it more often than any other laxative. So get Philips Milk of Magnesia for you and your whole family. It's the kind of laxative doctors recommend most often.
Some details on the president's forthcoming trip to the Soviet Union were made available by the Russians today. Mr. Nixon leaves Washington on Saturday, stops over in Salzburg, Austria, and then goes on to Russia for several days of talks, along with visits to Leningrad and Kiev. In Helsinki today, it's being said that the SALT talks on the limitation of nuclear arms will not have reached agreement before the president arrives in Moscow. And our White House correspondent, Richard Valeriani, has learned of something else that's happened involving Americans and Russians.
The administration has information that at least one and probably two Russian seamen have been killed in American bombing raids on North Vietnamese ports. One Russian was said to have been killed outright, and the other reportedly died later of injuries received sometime during the past 2 weeks. Administration officials are under orders from the White House not to discuss the matter. Apparently, in order to avoid an awkward situation for all concerned just prior to President Nixon's visit to Moscow. He is leaving this Saturday. The Russians are also apparently willing to keep the matter quiet, since they have not publicized the deaths, nor have they presented any public protest to the United States, at least not yet. The atmosphere for the summit meeting is already somewhat strained because of the American mining of North Vietnamese harbors. And the handling of this affair indicates that both sides are taking some care not to strain it any further. Richard Valeriani, NBC News at the White House.
Eight Russian naval vessels have been spotted in the South China Sea, about 300 miles from the harbors of North Vietnam, which have been seeded with American mines. The Soviet task force includes a guided missile cruiser, five destroyers, an oil tanker, and a missile-firing submarine. The Pentagon says it's not surprised that the ships are there, and the Russian vessels have not challenged American ships or tried to do anything about the mines. American planes are shadowing the Russians. The planes are from the American aircraft carriers on what the Navy calls Yankee Station. Here's a report on what the war is like there.
Aircraft carrier Constellation is about 150 miles southeast of Haiphong. That's less than 80 miles from the coast of North Vietnam. The area is called Yankee Station. Navy pilots from the Constellation have been flying daily bombing raids over North Vietnam. Their targets are mostly supply depots and communication lines. They also took part in the mining of Haiphong Harbor. The Constellation carries about 75 planes. Most of them fly out two or three times a day to attack targets in North Vietnam. The North Vietnamese are said to have the most sophisticated anti-aircraft defense network in the world. Navy and Air Force jets have bombed bridges and destroyed railway lines within 60 miles of the China border. They've hit targets in both Hanoi and Haiphong.
I believe the success that we've had in the last couple weeks has proven that the best usage of a fighter is in the offensive. If you want to keep these guys down and keep them away, then you got to bloody their nose a little bit. And the way to bloody their nose in is send your fighters in. We'll take care of them.
I'm here of my own free will, really, doing what I thought and what I still do think is in the best interest of my country.
The Constellation is part of the largest naval force ever assembled off the coast of Vietnam. Naval strength has doubled since the North Vietnamese offensive began March 30th. The communists already have enough supplies in the south to keep them going for several months, so in fact, this armada may stop future offensives, but there's not much it can do about the present one. Dennis Trout, NBC News, aboard the USS Constellation off the coast of North Vietnam.
The armada off the coast of North Vietnam soon will be strengthened by the addition of still another carrier, the Ticonderoga. It will be the seventh carrier in Vietnam waters. Less than 3 weeks ago, the Ticonderoga picked up the Apollo 16 astronauts in the Pacific. Today, after only 12 days in port, the carrier took off again, headed for Yankee Station in the waters off North Vietnam. The mood at dockside was subdued. The men had not been told where they were going, but their destination was a foregone conclusion. Most of the men and their families seemed to accept it as a job that had to be done.
Vietnam for the Vietnamese! Power to the people!
About 150 demonstrators marched peacefully through the town of Coronado, just outside the naval air station. The protesters did not go near the base itself. Three Ticonderoga crewmen sought sanctuary at a church, but gave themselves up and were flown out to the ship by helicopter. The rapid Navy buildup in Vietnam has trimmed the West Coast fleet to about half the number of ships and men of a year ago. The Navy's role in Vietnam now is bigger than ever before. Roy Neal, NBC News, San Diego.
In Vietnam itself today, Vice President Agnew is in Saigon talking with President Chu. At Con Tum, seven Americans were killed when their transport plane crashed. It may have been hit by enemy rocket fire. At Pleiku, the enemy blew up a large ammunition dump. And west of the city of Hue, the South Vietnamese were strengthening their defenses. An estimated four divisions of North Vietnamese troops could attack Hue soon. And a senior diplomat in Vietnam says Hue is now the key to the war. Here's a report on what's being done to defend Hue.
This element of the Vietnamese airborne came to Hue from Pleiku when President Chu decided the defense of Hue was a higher priority than saving Con Tum or Pleiku. The attack on Hue is expected to come from the west. In this first offensive probe, the airborne moved north on Route 1, then struck west toward the mountains believed to harbor over a regiment of North Vietnamese. A fire base was quickly built to cover the area the airborne would probe. Light howitzers were zeroed in on the airborne's route. As the column of armored personnel carriers pulled out of the fire base, a B-52 strike erupted on a suspected enemy camp in the hills. Streams were deeper than expected, and the column temporarily bogged down in muddy water. They pulled each other free of the mud and continued the advance. There was no sight of the enemy and no shortage of ammunition, so the commander ordered recon by fire. 50 caliber machine guns sprayed the bushes, but there was no return fire. The Vietnamese airborne are known to be the best troops in South Vietnam, and for that reason, they're a priority target for the North Vietnamese, who reports say would like to bloody an elite South Vietnamese unit like this one. They'll have their chance in the next few days, as from now on, the airborne say they'll be on the offensive with probes like this one out into the hills west and northwest of Hue. Don North with the South Vietnamese airborne west of Hue.
The government of North Vietnam today officially rejected President Nixon's proposal for an internationally supervised ceasefire in Indochina. A statement issued by the foreign ministry said the Vietnam question must be settled by Vietnam and the United States at the Paris Peace Conference. In Paris today, the United States complained officially to the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong that they will not negotiate seriously.
Let us look into the crystal ball. Ah, in your past, I see you have had many troubles.
And used some very bad language.
But wait. I see it was a 1972 Lawn Boy. It had solid-state ignition for quick, consistent starts.
Solid-state. Lucky me.
Poof! Now your troubles are gone.
Great. Where do I get one?
Lucky you. Now we have the pushables, and the electric start, and the self-propelled, and the abusive...
The quick and quiet Lawn Boy.
On a morning like this, everything looks great. Unless you had a hard time getting to sleep the night before. It's for those nights, and everybody has them sometimes, you keep Somanex in the house. Somanex helps you relax and feel drowsy, so you can get to sleep.
A good night's sleep does make a difference. And Somanex can help you get it.
After a good night's sleep, not only are you going to feel all rested and refreshed, you're going to look it.
In Washington, a conference of senators and congressmen worked all night on a school busing amendment to the higher education bill. The conference settled on the amendment shortly after 5 o'clock this morning. The amendment would forbid any school or court-ordered busing for school desegregation for 18 months. The bill now must be voted on by both the House and the Senate. If it passes, President Nixon is likely to sign it because it gives him the busing moratorium he had wanted. L. Patrick Gray, acting director of the FBI, made his first speech today since taking over the job. He told a group of Washington lawyers he is against the idea of an investigation of the FBI as proposed by some Democrats. Gray also talked about the power of the office he holds.
Another area in which I am still looking for answers is the frequent criticism that the head of an investigative bureau of this importance has too much potential power. It has been suggested that his actions should be subject to review by a Blue Ribbon Commission over and above the Bureau. I am deeply concerned that such a device might seriously impair the effectiveness of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Let me add that I do not, at this present time, and on the basis of information now available to me, believe that any full-scale investigation of the FBI is indicated. I have the deep inner feeling that many of the criticisms leveled are unfounded.
The authoritative Egyptian newspaper El Ahram reported today that the government of Egypt has asked the United States to cut its diplomatic mission in Cairo by one half in the next month. In Bonn, West Germany today, the lower house of parliament voted to accept Chancellor Willy Brandt's treaties with the Soviet Union and Poland. Final ratification depends on the vote in the upper house. In Berlin, thousands of West Berliners crossed the wall into East Germany. They've been given 8 days to visit in the East to celebrate the Pentecost holiday. Prices rose a little today in moderate trading on the stock markets. The Dow Jones Industrials went up almost 2 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share gained 7 cents. And on the American exchange, the average price of a share went up 3 cents. The California presidential primary will be held on Tuesday, the 6th of June. It's an important primary. Only the New York primary sends more delegates to the Democratic National Convention. But in California, unlike New York, it is winner take all. Since Governor George Wallace of Alabama is not on the ballot, the California primary will be a showdown between Senators George McGovern and Hubert Humphrey. Garrick Utley is in California, and here is the first of his reports on that primary.
The biggest thing about the California primary is that it is big. The candidates will travel further, spend more money to appeal to more voters than in any other primary. And they will do it because at stake here are 271 delegate votes at the Democratic Convention. The winner gets all of them, the losers nothing. The prize is enormous, and so is the effort to win it.
The California showdown is between Senators Hubert Humphrey and George McGovern. George Wallace is not on the ballot, but his supporters may mount a write-in campaign for him. Humphrey and McGovern are each expected to spend between $1 and $1.5 million on the California primary alone. Neither candidate has yet done much campaigning here, but their organizations are already mobilized. What makes California a formidable challenge to the candidates is not just its size, but its diversity. There are 5.1 million registered Democrats here. They are young, old, black, brown, and white, blue-collar and white-collar. Political traditions are not as deeply rooted as in most parts of the country. Democrats here not only often disagree with each other on issues, they do not even agree what the main issues are. One issue in the primary will be Vietnam. Opposition to the war has been strong in California, and Senator George McGovern should benefit from that. And also from the fact that young Californians have registered to vote far more heavily than in most other states. But one-third of industry in California depends on defense or aerospace contracts. The cutback there has helped put unemployment in the state at 6.3%, higher than the national average. That should help Hubert Humphrey, who voted for the space shuttle and the big loan to Lockheed, and hurt McGovern, who has voted against it. Another issue will be property taxes. Californians collected enough signatures, 525,000, to put a referendum in the November ballot limiting property taxes to 1.75% of assessed valuation. Others are collecting signatures for a referendum to legalize marijuana. That could also become an issue in next month's presidential primary. In short, there will be many issues in the California primary, which means that no one candidate can run and hope to win on just one issue. Hubert Humphrey will have to convince opponents of the war that he is against it as much as George McGovern, and McGovern will have to convince defense and aerospace workers that he is their friend.
So this is it, the California primary. 271 convention votes, winner take all. As of now, the polls show Hubert Humphrey and George McGovern close together. Either man can win. And both men know that to win the Democratic nomination, they must win California. Garrick Utley, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Mr. Atlas?
Yes?
I understand millions of people are buying tires named after you.
Right. They know Atlas tires are built for strength.
Hey! Deep tread.
That deep tread helps give you long mileage and good traction.
Well, where can I get them to fit my car?
There's an Atlas tire for every need and pocketbook at 50,000 leading service stations. There's one near you.
Say, who's holding up the world?
Atlas tires, all built with the strength of Atlas.
When you need a laxative, what you don't need is one that tastes like a laxative. Thick, chalky, heavy. Introducing X-Lax Instant Mix, the liquid laxative that doesn't taste like a liquid laxative. New orange-flavored X-Lax tastes orange good.
Mmm.
Orange light.
Isn't it delicious?
If you need relief from occasional irregularity, try orange-flavored X-Lax Instant Mix tonight and have a good day tomorrow.
Queen Elizabeth of Britain arrived today in Avignon, France, in a cloud of steam from an overheated automobile. She was being driven to Avignon on her state visit by President Pompidou's chauffeur and President Pompidou's limousine. But it blew a water hose and the royal party just about made it to the ancient palace of the popes in Avignon. Many things have changed in France since some of Queen Elizabeth's ancestors crossed the channel to shoot crossbows at the natives. And the language is one of the changes. Here's a report on lay changes from David Burrington.
The Queen arrived by le jet, a bit late because of le traffic. She and Prince Philip will, of course, have lay meetings with French officials and lay cocktails with the diplomatic corps. Such words, le traffic, lay cocktails, are called franglais, English words taken over by the French people to the dismay of French leaders. President Pompidou has made no secret of his opposition to franglais, and of his worry that English, rather than French, will become the primary language of the common market. It's the duty of the French Academy to protect the French language, but its effort to stamp out franglais has been a failure. This eminent body of scholars has tried to outlaw words like le bulldozer and le pipeline, but it's had trouble finding substitutes. It takes six French words, for example, to replace le weekend. Also, the Academy is getting behind. It started revising the French dictionary in 1936, and so far is only through the letter C. The acceptance of franglais is blamed on le mass media, which has popularized words like le chewing gum, le picnic, and le businessman. There's even a French magazine called Le Management. In Paris itself, there's an epidemic of franglais. Within the shadow of the Arc de Triomphe is Le Drugstore. This is only the first one. Now they're all over the city. Inside, one listens to Le Pop, Le Rock, and of course, Le Jazz. Les pubs have also taken Paris by storm, and a good share of the other bars and restaurants now have franglais names. They serve, among other things, le breakfast and le steak. Some provide le self-service. With your car in France, you make le parking, absolutely no substitute word for that. And when your clothes are wrinkled, you look for le pressing. Sooner or later, the French Academy will have to find a substitute for such things as le sex shop. But as one member pointed out with relief, at the rate they're going, that'll take another 200 years. David Burrington, NBC News, Paris.
Bonsoir, you all, and good night for NBC News.